Welcome to this message brought to you by LiveToHonorGod.com. I'm here with Shannon McCubbins. He is the pastor of Mount Moriah Baptist Church in Mount Sherman, Kentucky, and a church that I attend. Thrilled to be here talking with him, and we wanted to talk a little bit about honoring God and how he honors God in his life. So, I'll go ahead and let you.
Okay, well, I think, first of all, honoring God in a relationship is that I think God wants you to honor him first and foremost in living a life that has the least amount of hypocrisy. I think God is, he's not looking for perfection because he understands that we're not perfect. That's the whole reason that he sent Jesus. But once we receive Christ, I think that we need to live our lives in such a way that it brings honor to God and it doesn't cause shame to come to him because we're his children. I think it's kind of like when we were growing up, maybe with our parents, you know, we didn't want to dishonor the name of our family, you know, and our parents wanted to raise us in a way where we were respectable people. And I think that's the same way with God. When the way we live our lives is a reflection on God, you know, when we call ourselves Christians, and I think a lot of people we see in society, they have brought shame to the name of Christ and put a bad reflection on it by the things that they do, the way they live, how they, you know, represent their life, the things that they do in everyday situations. So that's kind of what I think.
I tend to agree with you. I believe that you're right on target for what I believe, that we often, we see people all around us that are dishonoring God. And I think that God just wants us to be who he makes us to be. I don't think he's asking us to be someone specific other than he wants Tim to be Tim, the Tim that is living according to what God wants and being made new every day by the renewing of my mind, as Paul talks about in Romans. And, you know, I'm it reminds me of the song, God's still working on me to make me what I want, what he wants me to be. And, you know, he's going to continue working on me the rest of my life. And I really believe that God honors and understands what's in our heart, whereas people, they only see what happens with our hands or our actions, you know. And so, for example, you say, well, I intended to do that. Well, that doesn't mean anything because you didn't do it. You intended to, but you didn't.
Right.
Whereas God knows that we really did mean to do that. He knows in our heart, and he sees that. And I believe that he does, that he is honored by that. He also knows that we fail and we make mistakes and we don't really hit the mark like we should sometimes.
Right.
So I think that that goes along with what you were saying, that he sees what's in our heart. You know, David says that he was a man after God's own heart, but in fact, you know, he had a lot of big failures and and was a man of war. And as a result of that, wasn't able to build the temple because of the blood that was on his hands.
Right.
And
yet God said he was a man after his own heart.
Right, right.
So sometimes that confuses people, and it's kind of like an oxymoron or something.
Yeah. So I think that God does is honored by our intentions, but I think also, you know, if all you have are intentions and never have any follow through that honors God, then you know. But then again, that's not for me to judge. So
I think for me personally, one of the most freeing times in my life came when I came to the point that I began to be honest before God about my inabilities and the things that were wrong in my life. And, you know, we all know that you can't hide things from God, yet we try to do that.
Sure.
And so when I came to the point in my life that I began to just take an honest look at myself, and I think that was, you know, under the leadership of the Holy Spirit,
Yeah.
And I began to look and just say, okay, God, here it is. This is what's wrong with me, and I really don't know how to fix it. Mm-hmm. But I want to be a man of integrity and character, and I want to follow through. And you know, God began to send people in my life to sharpen me and to help me and mm-hmm. through His Word. And, you know, I was a person that liked to start a lot of tasks and then really didn't follow through with many of them. Mm-hmm. And I had a good friend one time. I wanted him to pray with me about that. And in a loving way, he told me, he said, well, the first thing you need to do, you need to start finishing what you start. Mm-hmm. And it kind of hurt my feelings at first. Mm-hmm. But I knew he was saying that out of love. And I had prayed the prayer to God. You know, God, show me and mold me into what you want me to be. And so I think when we begin to follow through with what God wants us to do, when we say we're going to be somewhere, you know, we're there. You know, when we tell somebody, hey, I'm going to do this for you, we follow through. And like you said earlier, we all make mistakes, but that can't be the pattern of our life. I think the majority of it should be, our word should be good, mm-hmm. and because God's word is good.
Right.
You know, so that's one thing, especially in relationships, you know.
Yeah.
And people are looking for that in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know as a therapist or counselor, they say that 40% of all the benefit that clients receive is related to the relationship they have with the therapist or counselor. Regardless of the techniques they use or the orientation of their type of counseling or whatever they do, it has nothing to do with that. 40% is based on relationships. And so I think that it's even higher than that in the church. You know, I believe that people want to relate to other people. People want to...
Right.
Well, it's a basic need to have that affiliation with other people, you know, to have friends. And it starts early on, but really it hits big time in the teenage years. You know, my daughter's 15. She's really starting to hit those years where, you know, it hurts bad when one of her friends doesn't talk to her. And I remember that, you know, and right. still feel it sometimes. But that is a need. And I believe that God made us this way because He wants us to feel that need to have a relationship with Him.
Exactly. And I think you're exactly right.
And so I think that's an important thing. And not only, that's why the church functions so well as a family, because of the relationships that can be built. And the people that don't get involved in the church and don't develop those relationships, they end up not staying with the church, possibly, or not this church, but then bouncing from church to church, and that ends up causing other issues. But I think, you know, getting back to honoring God with that, I think that relationships are a big part in helping, especially new Christians, honor God. They learn from those relationships, and we all need those relationships.
True. And, you know, I think trust is a big factor in any relationship. And, you know, especially a new Christian or in the church atmosphere, we as leaders, we need to be trustworthy, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that trustworthiness comes when, you know, we need to have accountability partners too. You know, as a pastor of the church, you know, there are men that I can go to outside the church mm-hmm. and share issues that I'm dealing with, whether that's, you know, jealousy or lust or envy, anything that might be going on in my life. I need to have men that can hold me to a level of accountability mm-hmm. because as a leader and as a pastor and honoring God in a relationship, the worst thing that can happen is to see, you know, a moral failure. And I know in my personal life, I served under two pastors that fell morally. Mm-hmm. And one was in a sexual, an affair situation, and the other one was a financial thing. Mm-hmm. And I learned at an early age that my faith needed to be in Christ and not man, that man is fallible. But that left a scar on my heart because those were men that I looked up to and trusted, you know, and I still love them. But it also made me look at my life and realize that if I don't have things in place that assure, you know, my trustworthiness, mm-hmm. that I could fail too.
Yeah.
So I want to have men in my life that are going to look at me and be able to be truthful with me. And I want to be honest before God also. So I think trust is a big issue in relationships, mm-hmm. and how we honor God, that people can trust that we're going to do what we say, that we're going to be there, and that we're living to a certain standard, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I think that is important, and I know I've known quite a few pastors and other, you see a lot on TV, but personally I've known several who have fallen as a result of their moral failure, and it does... Not only is it bad for them, it damages families, you know, rips them apart, and it really casts a bad light on Christians in general and churches. I really believe that there's been a lot of damage over the years done by things like that. And the bottom line, I think, is, like you said, trust is important, and you have to live to a certain standard. And I think the only way we can live to that standard is to be honest with ourselves and honest with God.
I agree.
Because when we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. But in the AA movement, they have a saying that it says, we're only as sick as our secrets. I really have thought a lot about that over the years. Because I know that it can be a sickness whenever you get involved in secrets. When you hold something tight inside of you like that, it's not going to stay there. It becomes dark and evil, and it just gets out of control. And before you know it, it's controlling your life rather than you controlling your life. I think addiction and a lot of sin falls into that category. And so I think that when you're honest with yourself and with other people, when you're honest with God, like you said, we try to hide from God, and you can't hide from God, but
He always finds us.
We try. But when you're honest and you just stop holding those secrets in, then it makes it a lot easier to reach those standards. And it becomes more about the grace and mercy and the relationship you have with God helping you reach those standards than the legalism, because legalism will fail every time.
Yeah, legalism causes us to hide things, mm-hmm. because, you know, we're afraid we're going to disappoint people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the scripture in the Bible says, you know, confess your faults to one another that you may be healed. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that's talking about standing up before a whole congregation and airing your dirty laundry. But we need to have relationships in the church where we can be honest with people, you know, and say, you know, this is what I'm struggling with, or this is what I've done. You know, have people that are not going to run and broadcast that, but do that. But when we keep things in the dark and in the secrets that you talked about, Satan operates in darkness. And when we bring things to light and allow the body of Christ to minister to us and say, you know, this is what I'm struggling with, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, I know for me, when I was struggling with depression and panic attacks, I kept that hidden from the public as much as possible for almost 2 years. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, finally, when I stood before the church and said, hey, this is what I'm struggling with, and the darkness and the secrets in my darkness had told me that the church was going to get rid of me, you know, that I could not be an effective leader. But just the opposite happened. The church embraced me when I confessed that and prayed for me, and then after that period of time, my deliverance came, you know. But I, mm-hmm. if it had been kept in darkness, I'm not sure how long or if I would have even been delivered.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting. So anything else about relationships that you mentioned honesty and trust and.
Yeah, and I think in the marriage relationship, you know, it, trustworthiness and making sure that you're serving others, you know, and then, that's a weakness of mine. You know, I'm kind of self-centered sometimes. I think we all are, especially men. And, you know, when we enter the marriage relationship, then we've conquered and we think we're finished. And so we stop doing the romantic stuff and we provide and, you know, we make a living and we do those things. But, you know, we need to honor God in our relationship by, you know, the Bible says, love your wife like Christ loved the church. Mm-hmm. And I wholeheartedly admit that I fail daily in that. Mm-hmm. But that's my prayer. That's the desire in my heart, is to honor God through being a better husband. Honoring your spouse and loving her like Christ loved the church, you know, and putting her before you. Like I was the baby in my family, and my siblings were 10 and 12 years older than me. So, you know, I garnered a lot of attention. And, you know, when we did the ministry thing, the five love languages, mine is affirmation. So, you know, I like praise. Yeah. So, but I'm not good at giving it all the time. So I've learned to do that. But, and, you know, to keep your promises with your spouse, you know, two of the greatest detriments to marriage are infidelity and then the areas of money. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to honor God in our marriage through just loving our spouse and doing things together. So that's a big thing.
I think one of the things that I have failed, and I don't know why, it for some reason it never has worked like I have wanted it to. And I know it's, you know, I don't know, I really don't know the answer why, but taking time, not taking the time, but praying with my wife. I don't pray with her as much as I should. I don't know why, it seems like when we start to do that, it just, you know, we get busy and we don't continue doing it, or, you know, we've started, I don't know how many times in the 20 plus years we've been married, to read the Bible together, and that'll last a little while and then it fizzles and, you know, you get busy, and that is a failure that I feel strongly that I needed to do better and haven't done better.
Yeah. Same here. Well, you know, sometimes you want to do those things, but it seems that everything else grabs your attention. And I think it's the hardest thing in the world is to get with your spouse and pray, you know, and reflect upon God's word. And that's very difficult for us to do too.
And yet I know that I know couples that tell me they do it every day and spend, you know, a lot of time together praying and reading the Bible together. And I admire that. I'm like, I don't know how I don't do that. It doesn't make sense to me, because that is a desire that I have, but somehow it just doesn't work. And not to say that I'm never going to, you know, that I'm giving up and never trying, but, you know, it's been something that I have missed the mark on, I believe, in my marriage.
I would agree with that in my marriage also. And that's something I would like to improve on, you know. And we do pray about situations, and, you know, my wife will ask me to pray for her about things. And occasionally we pray together about our children or situations. But we do like that intimacy of prayer and study together. And so that's something definitely that I'd like to see happen more in my life, and we need to work toward it.
Yeah, we have, on several occasions, we've had studies with other couples that you know, have been really good. But it's just not the same, you know, right. Doing it just the two of us together. I don't know exactly what is the reason, but anyway, that's something that that I know in my life that I need to do better and would like to do better. Anything else about marriage relationship? You talked about, you know, being faithful and that you know, helps you honor God in your relationship with your wife. And
well, I think marriage is it's a reflection of the church's relationship with Jesus, you know. And sometimes, especially as a pastor, I get so busy ministering to other people, and I neglect my wife and my children, and I just expect them to know it. And I've had my wife say before, you know, well, if this was one of the church members, then you would take more than 5 minutes to listen. You would listen to their needs and do that. And that's kind of a wake-up call, you know, that, hey, I need to spend time ministering to my family, especially to my wife, as much as I do the church, because that's the foundation of who I am. Mm-hmm. So I think that's an area that I need to work on.
Yeah.
And would honor God more.
Yeah, I can agree with that too. I think that it's easy. Well, and I think it's part of the way God made us, you know, with the calling to care for other people, to minister to other people as a pastor or any type of ministry like that, you end up having that desire to minister. And I mean, it's easy. People come to me as a counselor off the street, people I've barely met, and somehow they know that I'm someone they can talk to about their issues, you know.
Right.
You can't. And when I was a pastor, you know, there were similar things, you know. And so that's part of who God made me to be. There's no way around it. But I do understand what you're saying with, you know, when I was when I was doing full-time work in a regular job, I call it, and then as a therapist, and then part-time as a minister of music, I would spend a lot of hours on church-related things, you know, my regular hours during the week with work, and my family was the ones that I feel like they suffered. It was frustrating, and you try to balance that and give them attention, and yet, at the same time, I know that God had me where He wanted me to be, so that balance is difficult. But I also believe that I was doing what God wanted with the church, and you know, so I think we tend to beat ourselves up over some of those things when really, you know, that's not warranted.
Right.
Maybe we can do a little better with some of those things. But and I remember when I was a full-time pastor, we went to a workshop for pastors. The church that I was with had hired a pastor for the pastors. And he was going around with all the people in the state doing workshops with the families, the pastors, and their wives. And it was really incredible. It was good. And so we went on this workshop. And his, I'll never forget this, he said too many pastors, they see their obvious responsibility to God first, which needs to be there, and then to their family, and then to their church, their job as pastor. But he said, sometimes we need to look at that we have a fourth thing in there. And this was his order: God, your family, and then your calling, and then your church. Because your calling might be different. Even though you're a pastor, he says your calling might be administrator as a pastor.
Right.
Or your calling might be as a preacher. Or, you know, I mean, that's, you know. But he said that that was the order that he put him in. And that you're a pastor of those four things. That's the fourth thing, being a pastor. And I've thought a lot about that, and I tend to agree, because God calls us and gives gifts to do service for Him, to minister. But sometimes the way I do that or the place I do that is in the pastor role. Sometimes the way I do that is as a therapist for where I work. Sometimes it's a stranger on the street that needs me to minister to them in that role. And so, I don't know, I think there's some truth to that. And it kind of opened my eyes to what he's saying. But getting back to what we were talking about with the family, he said God first and family second. And I think a lot of times pastors reverse that and make God first, church second, and family, you know,
right,
third or fourth or fifth. Or
yeah, I think so too. And one thing, you know, I used to see, you know, you see pastors and their wives that almost work together like a team, and the wife is up on stage, or she's playing the piano, or she's leading music, or just very active in an upfront situation. And my wife is not like that. You know, I kind of was envious of that situation for a while, and I tried to push my wife into that role. I finally realized that's not her calling at all. You know, and she's much more comfortable in the background, and she serves and loves people that are hurting, and she doesn't sit up on the front with me on Sunday morning. She's sitting back by a friend or this or that, and you know, some people look at that like, well, we're, you know, she's not involved in the ministry with me, but really she's doing ministry that nobody sees. But, you know, that part of me that likes the praise of people wanted her, you know, in a more upfront position. But that's just not her. And so I had to learn over the years to let her be her, you know.
Yeah.
I used to drag my children around to ministry meetings with me. And we would go on hospital visits and funeral home visitations and just anything that had to do with ministry. And I wanted them to see it firsthand, and it wasn't anything like making them do it, but if I had to go somewhere, I would just let them tag along, and I think that's been a great experience for them. Now, I'm not sure that they want to be involved in the ministry now, but I can see that they are, really, and I can see God working in my kids and in my marriage, too, but I had to learn that... you know, the world's definition or even the church's definition of ministry and marriage is maybe different than God's, you know, so.
Yeah, we get hung up on stereotypes.
Yeah.
And if you don't fit into that neat little box, then you're not a pastor, or you can't, you know.
Right.
And I think just the opposite is true. God has called a lot of men to be pastors, and they don't all look the same. You know, and well, the basis, a good basis for that is the fact that the Bible says that God created us in His image, and yet we all look different. And so, you know, it has to be in His image, some other image than just physical appearance.
Right, right.
And also in gifting, in, you know, ministry and service and just the things that we enjoy. You know, we're all different.
Right.
So.
That kind of leads into, you know, work, which, you know, my work is the ministry, and I've worked outside of that before. I worked.
You've been listening to a message brought to you by LiveToHonorGod.com.